All throughout Christmas, we sing about peace. We sung about peace tonight. We will sing. But peace can feel complicated. Some of us are tired. Some are anxious. And as we discussed, Kristen, Sharice, and I, as we were praying for the service, anxious looking to the future. And some are depressed because we're looking backwards. Some are carrying grief that feels especially loud on a night like this during the Christmas season. It's a first in a lot of ways. And first can be a good thing, and sometimes first can be a hard thing. But is peace the absence of conflict? And we'll be quick to say no. Is the resolution of our problems, all of our problems, is that the peace? The calm after the storm, or is it the calm before the storm? Or do we have calm in the storm? I don't remember where the peace is at. But Scripture gives us a deeper answer. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. And perhaps the most beautiful thing God ever did is arrive as a baby. And that's why Christmas matters. In Zechariah's world, they were a people without peace. Before Christ arrived, Zechariah prophesied of Christ coming as a branch of peace. And to understand the branch of peace, we need to understand the world Zechariah was speaking into. Israel had returned from exile, but the story wasn't over. They were having a lot of trouble still. The city is damaged. The temple is in ruins. The people are discouraged. They are home, but not really home. Not whole. Not restored, and definitely not at rest, and very little peace. And into that fragile moment, God speaks through the prophet Zechariah, not with condemnation, not with disappointment, not with anything other than a promise. And Zechariah 3:3-4 is the scene where we read what's taking place. Pick up in verse 3, it says, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you.'" This branch that was revealed, first of all, who it's revealed to, Joshua is dressed, standing there, just filthy. He's standing before a holy God, and he's filthy. It's almost the scene where you feel like you need to cut your hair before you go to the barber, or, you know, you need to brush your teeth extra well before you go to the dentist. You know, all those things that you're supposed to do right before. And here he is, just filthy. He's not just filthy. He's ceremonially dirty. He's morally unclean. And if you read all of Zechariah 3, Satan stands right next to him, accusing him of all kinds of things. And this is not just Joshua's story, this is our story. Standing before God with things we can't fix, can't excuse, can't undo. And what does God do? He does not argue with Satan. He pays him no mind, actually. He simply removes the filth. Verse 4, remove the filthy garments from him. New King James, behold, I have taken your iniquity away. Then God makes a promise. He says, I will bring my servant, the branch. Here's the order that matters. Cleansing comes before peace. Grace comes before rule. Peace does not come from ignoring sin. It comes from sin being dealt with. And that's the branch as king, peace that dwells in us. Later on in Zechariah 6, the picture blows up, it expands further. The branch is not only a priest, he is also a king. Zechariah 6:11-12 read, "Take the silver and gold from and make a crown and set it on the head of the high priest, Joshua, son of Zadok. Tell him, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne. And there will be harmony between the two. Priest and king, cleansing and reigning, forgiveness and authority." And notice what the king does. He builds a dwelling place for God. When you build a dwelling place for the Lord, It means you're setting up expecting him to be there in a place that you will always return to. Now for us, the dwelling place is not here in this building, although it's nice, or another church you may attend, or maybe you have a secret prayer closet. But really, this temple is now us. We hold the Holy Spirit. But peace is not simply God fixing things from a distance, as if a God that's annoyed has to send a messenger and, yeah, go take care of it. Peace is God choosing to dwell with his people on purpose. And that's when the branch arrives. That's the story of Luke 2 that we've read. And again, centuries later, after this promised branch, it finally arrives. But again, not in the way anyone expected. No temple, no throne, no crown, a manger. A priest comes before the sacrifice. The king comes before the crown. If we were honest, we would perhaps do it differently. We would expect the sacrifice before we responded. We would want a crown before we felt like we were the king or acted as the king. But for God, it's different. He was already the priest. He was already the king. Again, peace does not arrive with force. It arrives with vulnerability. It arrives as a baby who can be taken care of by a mom and dad who are not even married yet. The God who will one day reign in righteousness first comes as a child who must be held. And this tells us something essential. God does not bring peace by overpowering us. He brings peace by drawing near to us. Again, thinking of this peace, sometimes to consider what peace is, sometimes, or anything, we have to describe what it is not. There can be a problem if all we talk about is what peace is not, but I think it helps in this case so we don't miss what it is. If we're going to receive the peace Christ offers tonight, we also need to be honest about what peace is not, because many of us are disappointed with peace. We were never actually promised. Peace is not the absence of promise problems, but Christmas does tell us that everything suddenly becomes easy. It doesn't say that. Mary still faced many questions. She's 15, 16 at this time. Joseph still faces uncertainty. Israel still lives under Roman rule. Peace does not mean the storm disappears. It means God steps right into the boat. If peace only existed when problems vanished, then peace would always be fragile. We would take this peace and hide it in a jar, and then we would lock the jar in the cabinet, and then we'd lock the cabinet in a house, and then we'd lock the house in a vault, and we'd leave it there. But if peace only existed when problems vanished, then the peace would always be fragile, and we would actually never have it. But the peace of Christ brings, what he brings, is so sturdy, it's sturdy enough to exist inside the trouble. Peace is not emotional numbness. Sometimes we might think, I just wish I wouldn't feel anything, and that would be peace. But biblical peace does not require you to stop feeling. It does not mean you are calm all the time. It does not mean anxiety never knocks again. It does not mean grief is gone. Jesus himself wept. Jesus felt sorrow. Jesus knew anguish. Peace is not the absence of emotion. We do not become a robot. It is the presence of an anchor. It is knowing that even when our heart is unsettled, you are not abandoned. Peace is not control. If everyone would just listen to me, or if everything was organized just so. Peace is not control. And this one matters. We often call something peace when what we really mean is things are going the way we planned. But Christmas gently dismantles that. Mary does not control the situation at all. Joseph does not control the narrative. The shepherds do not control the outcome. And yet, peace is present. Because peace does not come from managing life well. It comes from trusting God deeply. It requires, peace requires required control, if peace required control, excuse me, then only the powerful could have it. And we would race to have more control. But Christ brings peace to the humble, the uncertain, the waiting. This last month, I had the opportunity to continue to go to H Street. H Street is one of the ministries we support. I have the opportunity to go and preach to people who are without homes, who are right on the border of not having a home, who really need a nice meal. And I told my kids a story, and there's this lady, and she is a fun lady. I don't know how else to describe her. Whenever I talk, she talks at the same time. Although, hey, if you want to talk to me, I'll answer. I don't care. But she would ask questions in the middle of the sermon, and I'm only preaching for about 15 minutes, but she doubles it up, and she even told me that I remind her of Joel Osteen. I don't, no comment there, but okay. I don't know why you're laughing. Just kidding. So at the end, she's such a lovely lady. She's just so fun. She's a lady that I would describe as peaceful. She would also tell me all of her prayer requests, which, yikes. I mean, she doesn't have a home, but she is so peaceful. And so much so that she even came up to me this one evening, it was 2 weeks ago, and she said, it's Bible quiz time. Ready? And I'm like, no. She said, first of all, first question, how long did it take Moses to build the ark? And even before I could process what she said, trick question. It was Noah. Then she went on and said, how many days did it take Noah to cross the Red Sea? Trick question. And she just went down the line. Esau, how much money did he make? And trick question. Then she said, on what day did God create Eve from the dust? Trick question. It was from Adam's ribs. And then I said, well, technically, in the Hebrew, it just says side. She said, trick question. I don't speak Spanish. Then she kicked the door out and walked out like she won. And she did. She did. That's peace. She didn't care. You watch her walk down the street. I don't know where she was staying that night. She skipped because she beat me. That was peace. I don't know if I was leaving that place and not sure where I was going to sleep, I wouldn't be peaceful. And yet, when we go to the New Testament, we read in John 14:27, this is what peace is. This is what Jesus says. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So he leaves us with his peace, and he's giving it to us. He gave it to us. And he doesn't give as the world gives, and he tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. But it's so easy to let our hearts be troubled. Again, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the nearness of God. Peace is knowing that your sin has been dealt with by the high priest, that your future is held by the king, and that God chose to dwell with his people, and he showed up as a baby. And that is why the branch of peace comes first as a child. Because peace does not arrive with force. It arrives with presence, his presence. And that is what Christmas gives us. Not a life without hardship, but a life never without God. But it's easy to sometimes pretend that he doesn't notice us. And this is not peace that denies reality. We don't live off in a far, far land, and we don't bury our heads in a good book or a good show or series and just repeat the line, everything's fine, everything's fine. It says God is here, and I want to be clear tonight of what peace is. Peace can exist alongside grief at the same time. It's a weird dichotomy. It's where you can feel happy and sad at the same time, where you're thankful for a relationship and also missing a relationship. Peace can remain in uncertainty. I'm not sure what the future holds, but I'm okay anyways. Peace can take root in broken ground. It's where you settled. Because peace is not in a circumstance. It's in a relationship with Christ. And Christmas Eve is not about pretending things are perfect. It's about remembering God has entered what is imperfect on purpose. And that's why when we read in Isaiah 9:6, that was also prophesying of Christ, our Savior, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Branches don't force growth. They grow where they are received. And tonight, Christ does not come demanding answers. He comes offering peace. And not peace that you can have one day and one day only, or one night. Not peace that if all of the circumstances line up just right. Not peace only while you're on vacation or a trip. Not the peace of control, not the peace of certainty, not the peace of, but the peace of his presence. And the invitation of Christmas Eve is not fix your life, get it together, have more faith. It is simply this, receive the branch of peace. And for some of you, some of us, receiving the branch tonight may simply mean naming your unrest before God and trusting him with it. No promises, no performance, just honesty in his presence. Perhaps maybe even for some, you've come only because you were invited to join us, which we're thankful that you are, but perhaps the first piece, the real piece, is knowing Christ as your Savior. The one who cleanses, the one who reigns, and the one who chose on purpose to dwell with his people. And the branches come, and the peace has taken root, and God is with us. And tonight, we don't respond by doing something dramatic. We respond by lifting up our voices. The peace we've been given is not fragile. It doesn't depend on perfect circumstances. It doesn't fade when the season ends. It endures because Christ is present. So as we sing a few more songs, let this be more than just music, more than just a melody, more than just a Christmas favorite. Let it be a confession. Let it be receiving. Let it be a quiet declaration of trust. Let the light of the world come. Let us sing these songs. Let us have this peace where we can snap our fingers and kick the door and skip down the street because we know who we belong to. So let's pray. God of promise, tonight we thank you that you are the branch of peace. Thank you when we were unclean, you clothed us with your grace. When we were restless, you came near, you settled us. Lord, we do confess that we often look for peace and control and uncertainty, and sometimes we look for peace in outcomes. Sometimes we look for peace in avoidance. Sometimes we look at peace in all other things. Lord, ultimately, we know peace is a gift from you. So tonight, we do receive peace as a gift of joy and excitement. Lord, will your peace come and rest on us? Will your peace take roots in our hearts, in our homes, in our families, whether we're traveling tonight or tomorrow, or visiting relatives later down in the week, Lord, or maybe even if we're alone, Lord, may we just rest in your peace. Lord, we welcome you, Jesus, our priest and our King, our Savior. We thank you that you are peace. We love you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.